also signed their agreement to the confessions of the church. We believe it accurately reflects important teachings of the Bible. So we look at Article 33, the sacraments, and then after that we'll look to Romans chapter 4. First of all, Article 33, the sacraments. We believe that our good God, mindful of our crudeness and weakness, has ordained sacraments for us to seal his promises in us, to pledge his goodwill and grace toward us, and also to nourish and sustain our faith. He has added these to the word of the gospel to represent better to our external senses both what he enables us to understand by his word and what he does inwardly in our hearts, confirming in us the salvation he imparts to us. For they are visible signs and seals of something internal and invisible by means of which God works in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So they are not empty and hollow signs to fool and deceive us, for their truth is in Jesus Christ, without whom they would be nothing. Moreover, we are satisfied with the number of sacraments that Christ our Master has ordained for us. They are only two, the sacrament of baptism and the Holy Supper of Jesus Christ. So far, Article 33 of the Belgian Confession, and then we turn to our scripture reading for tonight from Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, verses 1 to 12. Then our text is verse 11. It's page 1751 in your pew Bible. 1751. Apostle Paul is talking about how we are justified by faith. That's a big theme in the book of Romans. We are saved by faith, not by works, but by faith. And then verse 11 is our text, which is insightful about what it says about circumcision, which is fulfilled, of course, in baptism. So Romans 4, verses 1 to 12, I'll read the passage. I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds together, saying, thanks be to God. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abram was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abram's faith was credited to him as righteousness. And under what circumstance was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And then this is our text. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abram had before he was circumcised. This is the word of the Lord. This is a very complex passage. I'm not going to look too much at this passage tonight, but the point of the passage, of course, is that we are saved by grace through faith, always, in the Old Testament as well as the New. And circumcision in the Old Testament, are we saved by being circumcised? Well, no, that is, we're not saved by works. Circumcision, it pointed to the truth that we are saved by grace through faith. And circumcision also confirmed this. It sealed that promise. God signs and seals the truth that we are saved by grace through faith. That's the point of this passage. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last time we were together for an evening service, I more or less completed a sermon series on the doctrine of the church. Remember when we talked about that? I had what was like six sermons on that topic, all based on the Belgic Confession. So we talked about what the church is. We talked about the marks of the church, the government of the church, even the discipline of the church. We're done that series now. Now we move on in the Belgic Confession to a whole new area dealing with the sacraments. Three articles does the Belgian Confession have on the sacraments. So that's what we hope to get into tonight. Now, I want to say that the sacraments, they're not like totally unrelated to the doctrine of the church. No, actually, there's a natural logic to all of this. We move from the doctrine of the church into what I might call the special tools of the church. That's what essentially what the sacraments are. They're the tools the church uses to help believers grow in their faith. That's right. Notice then that the sacraments are tools of the church. I want to emphasize that. Sacraments don't belong to another sphere. You won't find the sacraments belonging to the home or to the school or to the business enterprise or to the government. You don't find our prime minister ever administering the Lord's Supper in the House of Commons. No way. That's not his job. The sacraments don't belong to the sphere of the state. No, sacraments belong to the church. Sacraments are special tools the church uses to help believers grow in their faith. That's why we move from the doctrine of the church into the sacraments beginning tonight. And so it is that we talk about the sacraments tonight. So maybe some of us are not even sure what I mean by the sacraments. What are the sacraments again? Okay, I'm sorry, let me back up then. The sacraments refer to these two things up here, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These two things are what we call the sacraments. So just a comment about that word. It has to be said that the word sacrament is not exactly a biblical word. That's right. It's not found in the Bible. Not that that's a problem. I mean, sacraments is actually an ecclesiastical word. What I mean is it's a church word. It's a word that the church made up or found in order that we might talk about baptism and the Lord's Supper at the same time. Instead of saying baptism and the Lord's Supper, baptism and the Lord's Supper, baptism and the Lord's Supper, we can just say sacraments. That's a lot easier. It's a lot simpler. That's what the sacraments refer to. Actually, the word has a long history. In the Latin, sacrament basically means a holy act. And I guess on a very basic level, that's what sacraments are. They are holy acts. Although, it must also be said that since holy act is a very loose, broad term, in the history of the Christian church, sacrament began to be used for all kinds of things. It began, first of all, to refer to baptism and the Lord's Supper, but as time went on, it began to refer to a whole host of other things as well. Abelard, a guy who lived in the 10th century AD, he said that there were five special sacraments in the church. The 12th century, Hugo of St. Victor said that there were no less than 30 sacraments in the church. Even today, the Roman Catholic Church still counts 7 official sacraments. The Reformed tradition has always backed away from that. We've always maintained that not everything that's a holy act should be called a sacrament. When we study the scriptures and the overall history of the church, sacraments refer to those special tools, those special holy acts that are completely biblically sanctioned and are used in the concrete context of the church, you know, the worshiping community, for the explicit purpose of confirming God's people in the faith. When we read the scriptures, only baptism and the Lord's Supper are those special holy acts that fit those basic criteria. They are the only biblically sanctioned holy acts of the church that confirm God's people in the faith. Now, since there is no definition of the sacraments that is perfect, here's mine. It's pretty simple. Sacraments are holy acts, or maybe better yet, sacraments are visual aids of the church designed to confirm the gospel. Let me repeat that. Sacraments are special visual aids of the church designed to confirm the gospel. So notice what they do then. They help confirm the gospel for God's people. Sacraments don't generally create faith. Sacraments are not generally not able to turn pagans into believers. Now, only the Word can do that. What sacraments do is they confirm the faith. They confirm the gospel. They're designed to help the believer. They're designed to help believers in the church grow even more in their faith. That's my definition. Sacraments are special visual aids, holy acts, of the church designed to confirm the gospel. Maybe it's helpful if I explain it this way. We always say that the preaching of the word, right here, that's the primary means of grace. That's why the pulpit is up here in the very center of the church at the front. God, he creates and he develops, he builds faith in our hearts, first of all, through the preaching of the word. Which makes sense. In the preaching, the Lord speaks. And as he speaks, what happens? Sure, scripture is opened up, the word is explained. And not only is the Bible explained, why it's also applied. Through the preaching of the word, the Lord calls people to come to him. The Lord calls his people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent and believe. Everything is all laid out and clear and simple. And when God's people respond, God works grace. That's why we say the preaching of the word is the primary means of grace. Notice, if you will, that the preaching is very much an oral thing. It's a hearing thing. God works grace when we hear the gospel and we respond. But you know, sometimes it's nice when the message is accompanied by pictures, by visuals. It's like a good book. Sometimes Marianne will say to me, "Ken, here's a good book. You got to read this." And then I always ask, "Does it have any pictures in it?" Sometimes the pictures help me to understand the message, the words of the book, a little better. That's how it goes with the sacraments. Sacraments are holy acts, holy pictures, holy visual aids designed to help us understand the gospel message a little better. In that, the sacraments confirm the gospel for God's people. That's how Article 33 understands it. Says the Belgic Confession, God has added the sacraments to the word to represent better to our external senses, confirming in us the salvation he imparts. See that? Visual aids for the gospel. Now, congregation, here's a potential problem that as I see it today. Today, we live in what is an extremely visual age now. Everything today is about what we can see with our eyes. I suspect it has everything to do with the invention of the television set, and then also the computer screen, and the iPad, and the cell phone, and all our other visual devices that we have. All of this has taught us to be very visually oriented now. Our visual age has no doubt had its impact on the church and its worship too. Absolutely. For the church today has become a lot more visually oriented as well. Many churches have the screen. We have it too. My sermon information is all up there tonight. You can see it. Sometimes you use it quite extensively for my sermons. Other churches are using visuals in other ways. Some churches make significant use of skits and drama, all to make the gospel more real for their lives. Some of this is very okay. There's nothing wrong with using some visuals, pictures, to help explain certain ideas and points in the sermon or whatever. Some visuals can be very helpful, very beneficial. But then again, in our day and age, we could also stand to hear a word of caution about all these visuals. How do I say this? Congregation, we must be careful that we not use visuals in such a way that they begin to develop a life of their own, to the point that they overshadow the primary means of grace and the visuals that God has specifically reserved for the church. Hear me out. This is my concern. Not only does some of our culture's newfound emphasis on visual aids in the church take away from the centrality of the pulpit, which is the primary means of grace, some of it also takes away from the uniqueness of the sacraments, which are God's special visual aids for the church. Let me be clear. God wants these two visual aids to stand out. These are the holy acts. These are the visual aids that God has especially designed for the church. We do not want these things to get lost among the many visuals that the contemporary Christian church readily employs today. Now, of course, allow me to clarify, God is not opposed to the use of visuals of all kinds to aid us in the classroom or in the home or in the business or whatever. But worship, that is a bit different. Worship, you see, is that dialogue between God and his people. In worship, we speak to God through our songs, our prayers and praises, and God speaks to us. And God doesn't speak in just any way to us. No, he speaks to us through the preaching. God speaks to us through the sacraments. These are the special means God uses to speak to us in the church. And so there is something very unique about the visual aids of baptism and the Lord's Supper. They're special. Why? What is so special about these two visual aids? I mean, one might argue that there are other visual aids that can be more effective than baptism and the Lord's Supper. I mean, drama, for example. I mean, you can visualize some pretty incredible stuff. So why does the Lord insist that these two visuals especially be utilized in the church? What is so unique about these visual aids? It comes down to this. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, they're not just visual aids that point to or remind us of the gospel. No, they are also seals of the gospel. Here we need to listen up very carefully. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, unlike all other visual aids, are God's signs and seals. Let me explain. As signs, they direct us to the gospel. They point us to the gospel. In their own visual way, they tell us the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it comes to baptism, for example, the sign of the sacrament basically tells us, look to Christ, for as water washes away dirt, so does Christ's blood and Holy Spirit wash away our sins. Look to Christ. As a sign, baptism tells us the gospel well. But baptism is not only a sign, it's also a seal. As a seal, it guarantees the gospel. Really, what baptism and the Lord's Supper are, is God's signature, God's stamp of approval on his gospel message to us. It's kind of like my diploma from Calvin Theological Seminary. When I graduated, I received a special diploma from Calvin Theological Seminary. That diploma is a sign and a seal from Calvin Theological Seminary. As a sign, as a visual reminder, it points to the fact that I passed all my courses at Calvin Theological Seminary. But it's not just a sign. My diploma is also an official seal from the seminary. There's that little seal on the diploma. That's Calvin's proof. Calvin's guarantee that they stand behind my degree. It's from Calvin. It's their seal. And so the church's sacraments operate in the same way. Sacraments are signs and seals of the gospel. As signs, they inform us, they picture for us the gospel, and as seals, they guarantee the gospel. God guarantees the gospel. It's His seal. Through baptism and communion, God is standing behind His gospel message. In baptism and communion, He guarantees the gospel message, also that we might be confirmed in our faith. It's noteworthy that the word sacrament, it does have that notion of seal or pledge actually intimately connected to it, especially when you consider where the church originally got sacrament from. Originally, the word sacrament came, believe it or not, from the Roman military. That's right. In the Roman military, sacrament was when a soldier pledged an oath to remain loyal to his superior. You follow? So that's how the church came to use the word sacrament as well for baptism and the Lord's Supper. For in these things, the Lord, He signs and He seals. He pledges. God pledges under oath to be faithful to His gospel promise, also that we may better trust Him and be confirmed in our faith. This is what sacraments are all about. And you know what? We need this stuff. We need this. Sure we do. Because sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we are weak in our faith. Sometimes we question God. We're not sure what to do with Him. And so God gives us sacraments, signs and seals to help us trust Him, to help us grow. He gives us sacraments to confirm, assure us in the gospel. Like God did with Abraham in the Old Testament, right? In the Old Testament, Abraham, he doubted too. Yes, he had the word. I mean, God spoke to Abraham directly. What better can you get? And yet, Abraham doubted. And so God gave him the sacrament of circumcision, which is replaced now in the New Testament church with the sacrament of baptism. In that Old Testament sacrament, God gave a sign and a seal of His covenant gospel, says Romans 4, verse 11, all to confirm the gospel message for Abraham, to help him believe. God gave him a sign and a seal of His promise. Romans 4, verse 11, Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. That's what makes the sacraments so special as visual aids in the Church of God. They're signs and seals of the gospel message from God Himself. No other visual aid does what baptism and the Lord's Supper do. Through these things, God declares to us the gospel under oath to confirm to us His love so that we may better believe and better trust Him. And of course, all of this implies that we use these sacraments in the right way. There's no room for superstition when it comes to these things. No, we must participate in the sacrament with open hearts and clear minds. When we witness baptism as a congregation, we must have our eyes open wide It's not a time to go to sleep. No, we witness baptism with open eyes. With our eyes, we must watch for the gospel. And when we partake of communion as a congregation, we must have a longing to taste the gospel, the word of God. And always must we catch the point. Always is God pointing us to faith in Jesus Christ. He's our salvation. He washes away our sin. He nourishes us unto eternal life. This is how God speaks to us in the visuals of worship. May we cling to God. May we grow in Him. To God be the glory. Amen. We're going to sing. Our hymn in response is hymn number 539, Shout for the Blessed Jesus Reigns. There are five stanzas to this hymn. We'll stand there.